Like, can you kind of just explain how this Martellus Bennett thing all shook out?
Marty Bennett, you know, number one, as you know, we're going through an injury situation there. You know, the club decided to, obviously the decision, you know, with termination. You know, as far as Marty, I mean, I enjoyed coaching Marty. You know, I wish him and his family nothing but the best. But you know, all the questions are, you know, thoughts about, you know, how and really the, you know, the designation and so forth. I really don't have those answers for you.
Mike, was the shoulder the injury that he failed to disclose, though?
I'm lucky. I don't have the answers to your questions outside of the fact that it was an injury situation. And, you know, I enjoyed working with him in his time here.
A cynical person would say that he posted on Instagram on a Saturday that he was considering retiring, and then, you know, less than a week later, he's gone. I guess that's what a cynical person would say. Is there any connection between those two from his perspective?
I mean, really, that I can't tell you. I did not have a conversation with him about that, about retirement, you know, with his comments over the bye week. You know, it was really when we got back here Tuesday, you know, we had a full day that day with the self-scout and across the hall and, you know, the initial game plan there for Detroit. You know, he practiced and then we had, you know, he had concern about his shoulder. And that's really outside of the conversation about starting the process of collecting the medical information that, you know, he needed. And I know they did a thorough research there. And so as far as what his decision is moving forward, I can't really answer that.
Rick, did you receive any feedback from players just over the situation where he...
I'm sorry, Tom. I can't.
Did you receive any feedback from the players, from your team? Did you feel them out at all coming off the bye and he has the retirement Instagram thing? Did the players...
Me personally, no. It really wasn't a topic of conversation with us. I mean, it may have been in the locker room. But no, not any that I'm aware of.
Do you feel like you quit on your football team?
I mean, once again, I think it's really, you know, you're going down a slippery slope if you start talking about other people's their bodies, you know, with, you know, injury and so forth. And that's why I think it's important. It really goes back to how I feel you should handle injury reports and so forth. The individual should talk about the specifics of his injury. That's not for me to comment on. I don't think it's right to judge that either.
From a football perspective, you obviously had a lot invested in him, and you know he did a lot of inline work for you. It's going to be a major transition to go away from a lot of that too.
Well, I mean, anytime you lose one of your top caliber players, it's an adjustment. I think that's stating the obvious. I mean, you look at the adjustment you make with, you know, with Aaron lost a quarterback and having three veteran tight ends on a roster. You know, now you're down to two. So I mean, it adjusts the way you, you know, do things, way you game plan and way you move forward. But that's another challenge of an NFL season. I mean, every team goes through it. Every head coach has to adjust, and we're doing the same.
Speaking of adjusting, you look at the game against Detroit, Richard Rodgers actually ended up playing more snaps than Lance did. Is that a case of a guy who's been here in your program for a number of years and you wanted to lean on his experience?
I would say it's more a case of having two quality tight ends you really believe in. And we used a lot of different personnel groupings in that game. We had some no huddle that we really didn't spend a whole lot of time on that we went to there in the third quarter after the two-minute drive. You know, before the half. So, you know, Richard has a lot more, you know, experience, you know, with our two-minute offense. So, yeah, it's once again, we're going to use both those guys moving forward. And, you know, only having two is, you know, you got to be smart.
Hey, Mike, I know you never like to be one player away from being out of a personnel group. Do you need to add another tight end just so you always can make sure you have double tight ends?
You know, just really, you know, stemming off Aaron's question, I think it's you have to be smart. I mean, it's you know, and I think the last game reflected that. You know, we're conscientious of who's up and, you know, how much guys are playing. You know, we had two guys on defense play a lot of snaps and play a lot of snaps on special teams too. So, I mean, you know, that's all part of the game planning. You know, play time is important because, you know, workload over the course of the year, you have to be very conscientious of that.
Just like a lot of the veteran guys that sign here, Martellus said he wanted to come here for a chance to win a Super Bowl and contend for a Super Bowl. When you see the things that played out the way that they did in the immediate aftermath of losing a player like Aaron, that obviously makes it much more likely to win a Super Bowl, does that strike you at all as any sort of a connection, the fact that he came here to win a Super Bowl?
Well, I mean, you can't deny the facts, you know, of your timeline and how everything went down. But, I mean, really, to tie all that together, you know, you're asking me to get inside somebody else's, you know, feelings, conversation, more on a personal level. I think this all started, obviously, coming out of the bye week. So, you know, everything leading up to that, I can't really comment on it. And, you know, and then we went down this injury path, and then here we are today. So, I mean, it'd be all speculation.
Mike, among everything else going on with Marty yesterday, there was also the reports coming out saying that you'll be deposed in the Colin Kaepernick case. Obviously, you made it very clear the direction the football team is going with the quarterback, but I'm just curious if and when questioned, what is the coaching's response towards why there would be no collusion towards a guy like Kaepernick, at least here in Green Bay?
Well, I think, you know, first part of your question, I haven't heard anything, and I'm not concerned about it. You know, secondly, I go back to, you know, after the Minnesota game, the press conference the day after, you know, clearly, you know, my message was to the football team about this is the direction we're going. We're going with our quarterbacks. There was no intention towards any veteran quarterback, and I stated that then. And anything that is different from that would just be, it's not true. So, or, you know, it's someone with an agenda. And so I think this is unfair to Colin, frankly, you know, and I don't think it's fair to our quarterbacks. I mean, the head coach sets the tone and the message for your football team. And we had a big injury there in Minnesota. I said it after the game, and I said it Monday, and I wanted to make it loud and clear to everybody, especially our football team, that Brett Helling was the direction that we're going. That was the message. Those are the facts. And anything outside of that is simply not true.
Anything else? Mike, when over the last couple of years, when there's been some times where the defense has needed to respond, you know, with a better performance, how does Dom usually handle those weeks when, you know, there's a bigger emphasis on sort of fixing some things?
Well, I think it's, you know, defense, you know, offense and special teams, is the continuity definitely has to run through your football team, and that's come from the head coach. So, you know, we had time Tuesday and even Wednesday morning, you know, as a staff to talk about the specifics of the Lions game. And trust me, that's implemented into the game plans. You know, every game plan meeting that we have, and then it's taken to the players, we always start off with self-scout. You know, this is what we look like. This is what we have to improve on. And obviously, there's things in the Detroit Lion game that we need to do better. You know, our pass rush wasn't, you know, was not right, you know, as far as the rush lane integrity and things like that. So we have to be cleaner there. Really with, you know, poor eyes, you know, discipline with our eyes, you know, that came up a number of times in the grade. So we're working on that. So this is all football. This is how it usually goes during the course of a year. But at the end of it, you have to keep working through it. And the reality is you got to win games. You know, if we had won, we'd still be having the same conversations. You know, you can win and not, you know, play your best football. And, you know, we're focused on playing our best football. You know, everybody remembers November. This is an important time in every NFL season. This is when you have to really start to put your best foot forward. You got to be, you know, teams are in sync more. You can see with the Bears. I mean, they're playing a certain way the last 4 weeks. So, and that's what you, you know, that's a challenge, you know, because the really good teams, they really start to take off in November.
You mentioned how the Bears have been playing. What have you thought about Trubisky, though, in the way that they've kind of eased him into that role?
I think it's smart. I mean, I think you know, anytime you play a rookie quarterback, I know just going through it, my personal experience, you know, hindsight's always 20/20. But the question you have to ask is he ready to play? Is not the question. Can the team play with the rookie quarterback? And I think they're definitely built for that because they have an excellent run game and they have an excellent defensive front. So. With that, in fact, it doesn't put a bunch of pressure on the quarterback to win the game. I mean, he has to not lose the game, you know, as far as starting out. I think that's reflected in, I think the one game he had seven passes. He's averaging 15 to 20 passes a game. So I think it's clear on, you know, the trajectory that they have him on, and he's done a very good job with that. Now, that'll continue to grow. I don't expect him to throw 10 passes against us, but, you know, we expect him to, you know, open it up a little bit more. And but, you know, but it still starts with the run for them. And, you know, we got to, that's an emphasis for us.